Dutch School Podcast.
Hello and welcome to the Man Out of School podcast, Series 9, Episode 3. Coming up on this week's edition, we have features on the hit TV show Gladiators and the hit board game Monopoly. There is a rundown of the top goals scored in football and a rundown of the best games to play, plus a comedy script and our regular teacher interview, which this week is with Mrs. Dixon. Let's kick things off with Roshan, Aaron and Shaq from Year 4 telling us all about the hugely popular show Gladiators.
Hi, I'm Aaron. And I'm here with Shaq and Roshan, and we're going to talk to you about, drum roll please, Gladiators.
Gladiators is a thrilling series on BBC One and BBC iPlayer. In each episode, lucky contestants take on the might of awesome gladiators in the ultimate sporting contest. They'll face new and exciting challenges that push strength and speed to their limits. Ex-Premier League football referee Mark Lattenberg referees the Gladiators. These are all the Gladiators. Comet, Fury, Apollo, Dynamite, Legend, Diamond, Athena, Giant, Apollo, Saber, Phantom, Nitro, Bionic, Electro, and Fire. There is one new Gladiator, Cyclone. But don't forget the naughty one, Viper. Hammer will appear in a few episodes.
Events. Duel. Gladiator and Contender are stood on opposite podiums, which are 1.1 in diameter, armed with pugil sticks, 41 centimetres apart. On the whistle, both competitors must try and hit each other off from the podiums onto the crash mat below. Powerball. In this event, contenders have to score as many points as possible by depositing as many balls as they can into the 5 equally spaced scoring pods within the time limit. Each contender is assigned a gladiator whose aim is to try to stop you by tackling them to the floor or putting them out of bounds, in order for them to put the ball out of play.
Gauntlet. A contender attempts to run the 45-foot-long gauntlet, which is divided into 5 sections, with a gladiator protecting each zone. The gladiators use ramrods and power pads in order to stop the contender from running the gauntlet. Hang tough. The sheer upper body strength needed to be any good at hang tough is something we're still trying to fathom, let alone possess. 2 decades later, the Eliminator. The final event is a tough obstacle course which decides who is the champion contender. The Eliminator's best part is the Eliminator was the final event of every show. After a series of games against the gladiators, the contenders finally go head-to-head in the Eliminator, which is a grueling obstacle course spanning across the whole of the arena floor.
There are some more events called the Ring, Atlasphere, Collision, Unleash and Crash Course, and the Wall.
Injuries. Nitro, whose real name is Harry Ekines R.E.T., is the former Team GB sprinter, explained that he has aggravated his dodgy knee by pushing himself a little too hard in training. Giants. Gladiator Giant tore his biceps on Powerball, and he has to be sidelined for the rest of the series. Gladiator's icon Giant was forced to pull out of the show mid-competition after he suffered a grueling injury. Comet got injured in Series 1 on the wall. Comet's real name is Ella Mai Rayner,
who was forced to stand down from the 2024 season after just a handful of episodes after she broke her right ankle and foot in multiple places. Thank you for listening to our part of the podcast. Remember to rate, like, subscribe and tell your friends. Bye!
Next, here is Aaron from Year 4 with a feature about the board game Monopoly.
Hello, my name is Aaron and today I'm going to be talking about Monopoly. Monopoly is a very popular game. Pieces, game board, 3 dice, tokens, 32 houses, 12 hotels, chance and community chess cards, title deed cards, play money and a banker's tray. How to set up. First, make sure you have everything above. Next, separate the play money into 7 groups. 1 million, 5 million, 10 million, 20 million, 50 million, 100 million, and 500 million. Then separate the chance, community, and street cards. How to play the game. First, set the board up by unfolding it and then pick a piece to play it with. Next, start and pass go, collect 200. It's on the bottom right of the board. Every time you pass go, collect 200 million from the box. Roll the die and move your piece that amount of spaces. When you land on a street square, you can choose to buy it. You don't have to though. But if it lands on go to jail, you must go to jail on the bottom left hand corner and miss one turn. Also, if you pass go on the way, then you aren't allowed to collect 200. After missing one turn, you can continue with the game. If you buy 3 of the same colour street squares, then you can choose to buy 1 to 4 houses. Then you will pick the street square card and it will tell you how much a house costs, how much a hotel costs and the tax for them. Once you have bought 4 houses, you're allowed to buy a hotel. If you run out or are very low on money, you can trade your sets of cards. The aim of the game. The aim is to have the most sets. You can end the game whenever you want to. 2 fun facts. The quickest time to win a Monopoly game is 21 seconds. Monopoly was created in 1903 and was originally called the Landlord's Game. Thank you for listening to my part of the podcast. Make sure to rate, like, subscribe and tell your friends.
Over to Elodie in Year 4 and Sophie in Year 6 now, who have a rundown of the top 10 games.
Hi, I'm Elodie.
And I'm Sophie.
And today we're going to talk to you about the top 10 games in our very own personal opinion.
The 10 game that we personally love is a game called Among Us. It is a game where you have to walk around and do some tasks. However, there are some imposters who can kill people and they return to be ordinary people. It is a really fun game I play because if you play it, you'll be really good at solving mysteries.
The 9th game is Minecraft. Minecraft is able for you to make anything you want, but there's a twist. It's all made out of blocks, so no twists or turns. You can survive as long as you can and you can kill animals to get food.
The 8th game we think is best is a game called Roblox. It is a really fun game where you can play different games with all of your friends. It is really fun and has all types of games and everyone will be able to play it.
The 6th game that I normally play is Toca Boca. Toca Boca is a roleplay game. You can buy really good houses and you can create avatars. You start with a really boring house, but you can make it look really good. The furniture is nah, but you can buy packs that have amazing furniture.
The 5th game that we think is really good is called Block Blast, which is where it challenges your brain and it has where you have to fit a lot of blocks of different shapes and sizes into a grid, clearing lines to earn some points.
The 4th game me and Sophie like is called Duolingo. You can learn every single language and you get to feed the bird when you get something right.
The 3rd game that we both love is a game called Stumble Guys. It is where you are a little person and you have to go in levels to complete obstacle courses. You can also change your person's uniform if you succeed in completing the levels.
The people in Stumble Guys are really cute.
The 2nd game that I like is called Fortnite. It is where you can pretend you are in war and you shoot other people online with different guns. It is also a game where all of your friends can join you and also think up of a fun username.
The 1st game that we enjoy is called Cafe Simulator. It is where you pretend you own a cafe job and serve people different snacks you would get in a cafe. It is really fun and you can spend your money to buy more furniture.
Thank you for listening to our podcast.
Make sure to rate, like, subscribe, and tell your friends. And if you have time, you can play one of these games if you're allowed.
Bye.
On to sport next. Here are Freddie and Rian from Year 4 to give us their top 10 football goals of all time.
Hi, I'm Rian, and I'm here with Freddie, and we're here to tell you the top 10 football goals of all time. 10. Paul Gascoigne, England vs Scotland, 15th of June 1996. One of England's most mercurial talents. Only Gazza could get a little too merry with the lads in the build-up to Euro 96, downing spirit upon spirit in a dentist's chair they found in a Hong Kong bar backroom to the characteristics discussed with the nation's tabloid and score the tournament's defining goal. His celebration was the icing on the cake.
Number 9, Zlatan Ibrahimovic, Sweden vs England, 14th of November 2012. Zlatan Ibrahimovic is Marmite that occasionally turns into a subject of universal adoration. His bicycle kick against England was wholeheartedly one of those moments. It's something that only a player with the skill and self-confidence of Zlatan would have attempted, let alone pulled off. Joe Hart must still play it back every time he washes his dandruff-free hair.
Number 8, Papiss Cisse. Newcastle United versus Chelsea, 2nd of May 2012. That's the most Barclays goals of the lot. Papiss Cisse, second of the game, had opposite number Didier Drogba, shaking his head and applauding alongside the Newcastle manager Alan Pardew. First time swollen wonder goal, plus Drogba, plus Pardew equals football heritage.
Number 7, Dennis Bergkamp, Arsenal versus Newcastle United, 2nd of March 2002. There are very few players in history who could get away with what Bergkamp did on March 2nd, 2002. There are even fewer who could make the case that they meant it. The more you look, the more confusing the touch and roll becomes, until all that left is a spinning football and a sad shade given. Did Dennis Bergkamp mean it? Yes, obviously it's Dennis Bergkamp.
Number 6, Alessio Russo, England vs Sweden, 26th of July 2022. As a confident England dispatched one of the world's best teams at a packed Bramall Lane, pick of the goals was undoubtedly Alessio Russo's backheel, a goal that summed up the atmosphere among the Lionesses on their way to a historic Euros title. It also resulted in one of the tournament's best bits of merch, inspired by everyone's favourite Swedish superstar.
Number 5, Dennis Bergkamp, Netherlands vs Argentina, 4th of July 1998. Nobody's surprised, Dennis is back with the second of his That's So Bergkamp goals. Number 4, Zinedine Zidane, Real Madrid vs Bayer Leverkusen, 15th of May 2002. Inside Zinedine Zidane, there are two wolves. Marco Materazzi met one, Bayer Leverkusen met the other. It's as close to ballet as you'll see on a football pitch. We're surprised Zinedine couldn't walk properly after his hyperextending hip displacing Champions League winner. This oddly shaped video from Real Madrid is worth sitting down to enjoy, as Zizou's goal is replayed from every conceivable angle and soundtracked by Nessun Dorma from Pacini's Turandot.
Number 3, Marco van Basten, Netherlands vs USSR, 25th of June 1998. Marco van Basten was a beautiful footballer, not talking in the Beckham way, although we're sure Marco had his fair share of attention. The way he helped the game was in the highest Dutch tradition.
His goal against the Soviet Union at Euro 88 is the definition of recoining to intricate thunderbastard, vicious dipping, first-time volley from Roberto Carlos angle, or should that be the other way round? That immediately shoved it to the front of every great goal compilation, must-watch 4K video ever made.
Number 2, Lionel Messi, Barcelona versus Getafe, 18th of April 2007. Where were you beginning to think we'd forgotten the little master? Of course not, especially when Lionel Messi scored one of the defining goals of the early 2000s. Already at Barca, regular at the age of 20, there was an inkling that the wonder goal wouldn't be at his last. Almost 17 years later, Messi had secured his status as the greatest footballer of all time. And aside the fact that this was almost 17 years ago, it's ceaselessly draining. Number 1. Diego Maradona, Argentina versus England, 22nd of June. 1986. Here it is. You all knew it was coming. From infamy to immortality, handball to the wonder goal. Diego Maradona's joyous run through pass and around a hapless England is the kind of goals, is the king of goals. There's something poetic in his greatest goal following his biggest football controversy, as if Diego felt a glimmer of uncharacteristic contrition and released. He should probably do something extraordinary to make up for it. That, or he just felt like compounding the misery. Either way, the goal of the century is our experts' comprehensive winner. Thank you for listening to our part of the podcast. Remember to rate, like, subscribe and tell your friends. Hopefully one day you can score one of these goals.
Something a little different for you now. Here are Teddy, Ezra and Cody with a comedy script.
Hello, my name is Ezra.
My name is Cody.
And my name is Teddy, the amazing.
I think you're talking about the wrong person now. I think you meant to say Cody the amazing.
Anyway, today we're going to tell you a comedy script called Prison Life.
There was once a guy called Sticky Joe who was born in 1860 and is 165 years old now and is still alive, probably around the age of all you listening now.
Sticky Joe was in prison for trespassing on Madame Pampamuse's, the village baker's, lawn without permission from her talking penguin called Jeremy. Every day was a challenge for Joe. One day he even had to deadlift Sam the buff strongman in the courtyard in front of all of the prisoners. Now Joe was a sad man. He was a sad man because he was lonely and he had been lonely all his life.
So on Friday the 13th of whatever month it was, he tried to make a friend. He decided to talk to Sam. He was very muscly and was always playing sports or doing press-ups in the prison gym with his friend Bob Sponge, who lived in the pineapple before prison.
But Sam had other plans. He wanted to escape. His plan was to get a taser from the storeroom. When he got cornered by the guards, he was going to hit the security guards on the forehead and he was to climb outside the window when he was coming out of the courtyard and skedaddle away whilst abandoning Sticky Joe. But as it turned out, Sam was blind, just like Joe's mum, and he pointed the taser the opposite way round, and so leaving out the details, he got zapped a lot and tell me a little secret. It appears that he may have been dead.
Sticky Joe saw a crack in the window after the taser hit Sam's giant forehead and it rebounded and blasted into the window. But let's not worry about the past, it's irrelevant.
So it's a blast from the past.
Anyway, let's stop yapping and finish the story of the lovely Sticky Joe.
Okay, hurry up then, Ezra. We haven't got all day.
Okay, I'll tell you what happened. Sticky Joe flipped over the bin to step on and jumped through the crack in the window. But on the way, he got stuck due to the fact that he ate too many cheese and ham sandwiches. But eventually, he made it through.
without dying.
When he got out, he sprinted. Well, not really sprinting. It was sprinting for him, which is not much like most humans walking, but not for Sticky Joe, as he's a bit different to most humans. He ran, and ran about 2 miles per hour, but soon enough he got to his house.
The first thing he did when he got home was lie down on the thinking chair, as he'd been running, aka walking, for about 2 hours, but he couldn't find his mother, Sarah. He thought and thought for loads of hours with his pea-sized brain and realised that his mum was in prison for stealing Jeremy the penguin and was nicknamed Sam at prison and became muscly from eating loads of chicken wings and that she is dead and it is basically all Joe's fault. That is the end of the story of Sticky Joe and Sam, who was actually called Sarah.
Thank you for listening to our comedy script. Please rate, like, subscribe and tell your friends.
We finish things off with our teacher interview. Here is Latch from Year 5 with questions for another of Manolodge's fantastic teaching assistants who currently supports Year 2, Mrs. Dixon.
Hello, my name is Latch and I am interviewing Mrs. Dixon. How long have you been teaching for?
Well, I've probably been teaching for about 20 years in all. And not all here.
Yeah. That leads on to our next question. What other schools have you taught at?
I've taught at a primary school in Potters Bar called Cranbourne School, and I was there for about 15 years in all, but I started off working as an MSA, so lunchtime supervisor, before going into being a TA.
What is your favourite thing about Manor Lodge?
I think my favourite thing about Manor Lodge is that I think we are a lovely community, that we all, as staff, work well together, and I love working with all your children.
Another thing that I think I really like about Manor Lodge is the school lunches.
The school lunches are good, aren't they?
How long have you been teaching at Manor Lodge?
I think it's about 10 years now.
If you could change one thing, what would it be?
One thing, oh dear, that's tricky because I like a lot about Manor Lodge. I think I would like to see even more creative subjects in the school because I think it's so good for children in their learning.
What was your favourite subject growing up?
My favourite growing up? It was art, definitely. I loved art at school, and that's probably why I'm a bit passionate about those sorts of subjects.
Mine's probably PE and games, because I'm active and sporty most of the time.
And when you know you enjoy something, it actually builds your confidence, doesn't it? You feel good, yeah.
What was your least favourite subject at school?
My least favourite subject probably was maths. I didn't really like maths. And because I probably felt I wasn't good at it, it was something that I didn't really want to do.
I do like maths, but it just depends what we're doing, because sometimes it gets a bit boring.
Oh. But I can see now, looking back, because I think at the time, the way maths was taught was very different. Yeah. So I think if I was learning now, I'd find it a different experience and a better experience.
Do you play an instrument? And if you do, what is it?
Do you know what? That is my greatest regret, because when I was in, actually it was secondary school, I started learning to play the violin. But as you know, with any instrument, it's quite hard when you start, isn't it? And I found it really hard and I gave up. And I always regret giving up, because if I kept going, I would have really enjoyed it.
And it would have got easier.
Yeah, exactly. So I needed to build that resilience in me, didn't I? And I didn't. And I look back and regret that. But maybe I'll pick up starting an instrument.
Play piano and guitar. So.
Fabulous. And I bet do you enjoy playing that now?
Yeah, because now I've been playing guitar for 2 years and piano for a bit longer than that.
Yeah, and once you've got mastered the basics, you can actually then play a lot nicer pieces, can't you?
Yeah.
Yeah, brilliant.
Do you have any pets?
Well, Not at the moment. We have had in our family quite a few pets over the years. So we've had all the little ones, the hamsters, the gerbils, the guinea pigs, rabbits. And our last pet was a cat. She was a rescue cat. But unfortunately, she got very old, so she died. So we don't have any pets now.
Do you want any more?
Possibly. They are obviously a big commitment. We did foster a guide dog for a year. So we looked after her during the day, well, at weekends, and then she went to school, like training school during the week. And that was great. That was a really good sort of, you know, a way of introduction to having a dog. We didn't have her during the day, just evenings and weekends. But it is a big commitment. So working, I don't feel I can take on that. I would love to have a dog one day.
I also really want an animal, just my mum keeps saying no.
Oh.
Until I'm older.
Yeah, because you've got to look after them and care for them, haven't you? Yeah.
What is your dream holiday?
Oh, my dream holiday. I've got lots of places I'd love to go to. I would, if the sort of places I would like to go to are the Galapagos Islands, or actually even Antarctica. Those sort of places appeal because they are just so incredible and so different.
I'd love to go to Spain or Italy because they've got really big football stadiums.
That's interesting. Yeah, I probably wouldn't go looking for the football stadiums, but but yeah, they're my places that I would, if I could, one day.
If you had one superpower, what would it be?
Superpower, tricky. I think it would be maybe to see into the future.
Well, that's helpful because then you can see what.
And maybe then you could change.
You know what's going to happen the next day.
Yeah, maybe. Yeah.
If you could change the world in one way, what would you do?
I would love to be able to there's so many species of animals and creatures that are so endangered and becoming extinct. I would love to be able to stop that happening by that involves an awful lot of work, but I'd love to be able to do that by helping the environment, changing it in a massive way that we could keep these creatures in the environments that they need and so they don't lose their habitats.
Yeah. Thank you for listening to my part of the podcast. Make sure to rate, like, subscribe and tell your friends.
Thank you.
Big thanks to Mrs. Dixon for taking the hot seat this week, and an even bigger thanks to everyone for listening. We'll be back with another episode soon, so please do hit that subscribe button and we'll speak again soon. The music you heard at the start of the podcast was a piece of music created on Incredibox by Ethan in Year 4. And now to close the show, here is Aaron from Year 4 playing the saxophone.
Remember to